Okay, the boys said today's daf is daf Lamed Gimel, and we're holding six lines from the top of the Omid where the Gemara begins. Omer of Acher Bar Yaakov, Shma Min Omid Rish Lakish, Rish Shimon Lakish, Mizamnin Yisrael Al Bnei Me'ayin, Ve'ein Mizamnin Oiv Dekachovim Al Bnei Me'ayin. What is this all about? So Rav Acher Bar Yaakov's halach is based on a halacha that we learned from Rish Lakish yesterday. So let's turn back just for a moment to Rish Lakish of yesterday. Where was this Rish Lakish? Just past half the Amud, maybe 60% of the Amud. The Amud Rab Shimon ben Lakish. Right, everybody have that? It's about 60% down. Shochet is a kona. A shochet shecht of the kona yet. And now, slow motion. The Yachach nikva horeya. The reya had a nekev right after the shechit is a kona, prior to the Shechitas Haveshet. Now, it's a dover poshet that if the Reu would have had a nekif prior to the Shechitas HaKona V'Haveshet, then avada this animal would be treif, and that's one of the primary treifas that we have listed on Daf Mem Beis in the new Perek Elu Treifas, or according to one teretz of the Gemara, Elu Asurais. But the Gemara ultimately fell away from that and said Elu Treifas. Okay. Everybody would also agree that if after the kana v'veshet were both slit and cut appropriately with a kosher shechita, and after that the reya developed a hole, then of course it's not a problem, because after the shechita is over, you're allowed to go and cut the animal into 500 different slices and pieces, including the reya. The problem we hear was that the reya got a neck of smack in between the shechitas ha-kana and the shechitas ha-veshet. Now, if we were asked, we would say that this animal is treif. Because when does the animal only become kosher? After you shech both simanim. Since before the shechita of the second siman, the animal developed a nekev in the reya, it should be treif.
How is that detectable?
Let's assume it never happened. Well, at least we're talking about the hypothetical and the theoretical. Okay.
Someone shot a bullet into the animal during the shechita. Exactly between the kana and the veshet. The bullet we see afterward pierced the lung.
Is that the magic bullet theory?
The magic bullet theory. Thank you very much for giving us a practical application of the lechoyer, which is more of a theoretical, but it's fine. What does Rav Shimon Lakish say? So if there was a nekev. Now, remember we had in the Gemara yesterday that although typically most of the chalifs were nice and sharp, and therefore a shechita went 1, 2, 3, you could have a smooth chalif, which is dull. And just as long as you don't put any pressure on it, you keep on slicing back and forth, in a very disciplined fact, it could even take the whole day, and the Gemara said it would still be kosher. So you could at least theoretically have a person who is, in fact, he finished off the kana, it's already taken him 5 hours, Baruch Hashem, he's finally gotten through that kana, and then in the meantime, as you say, there was a bullet, or there was a dog or something else that attacked viciously this body during the shechita, and he didn't touch the shoichet, he just touched, and guess what? He went and got into the rain and made a nekev. And when he's finished, he left, and then the shoichet's continuing on with his slicing, and now he's finally gotten through the veshet, and everybody says, wow, what a shechita, this is a Guinness World Record 8-hour shechita, but no hadrasa, no shahiyah, only a careful slicing the whole time. Kusha b'yusha. Yeah, but there was a neck of hareya in between. So Rish Lakish, it's kusha. Why is it kosher? Said the Gemara, because Alma Kiman de Mancha b'dikula damia. After all, the reya and the kana are really one set. If an animal doesn't have a kana, the reya is worthless. If it doesn't have a reya, the kana is worthless. They work together in tandem. Therefore, once you shech the kana, that part of the animal, so to speak, has already been kashered, that's taken care of. Now we just have to worry about the rest of the animal, and that is the veshet. Okay, so after the kana is geshochten, obviously the ray is no longer going to receive any further air supply or any more oxygen, because the kana has now been severed. So it's as if you took out the whole raya from the body of the animal, the kana with the reya, the whole business, and you put it into a dikula, into a separate basket, and you don't have to think about that anymore, because since the shechita sakana was done perfectly, and the reya is all dependent on the kana, so you remove the whole thing. Not that you physically remove it, we consider And we deem it keman deman chavitikul adam, as if you took the whole thing out and you put it somewhere else and you put it into a basket. Okay. Then after that he continues finishing his shechita. He did the beishit. We check it out. Beautiful shechita. Everything was perfect. You're allowed to go and eat from this animal, even though there was a nikvah horeya in between. The Gemara had a discussion about this further, but for purposes of Arav Acha Bar Yankiv, that's all we need to know. So now, at the time that the nikvah horeya, and the time that the reya was deemed removed from the body of the animal was still, quote-unquote, alive. In which respect was it still, quote-unquote, alive? Because he didn't do a severing yet of the second kana. So at the very least, says our Gemara, as we'll see shortly, it was mifarcheses. Mifarcheses means that the animal was jerking around. We usually use the term mifarcheses even after both simonim are severed. Here we're saying, in between the kana and the veshit, the animal is still, technically alive, and still alive and kicking, so to speak. Eventually, what's going to happen? There's going to be a severing of the second pipe, which is the veshit, and at that time they're going to go and say, according to Rish Lakish, kusha v'yusha, you're allowed to eat it, we're done, we're finished. Rav Acha Bar Yankiv says, this works by Yidden. It doesn't work by Gentiles. What do you mean it doesn't work by Gentiles? Although Gentiles do not have a mitzvah of shechita, as we know, that's why they have all of these non-kosher freserayin and all the rest, however, they have an iser of Eivor Min HaChai, just like we have. In fact, that is the first of the seven Noahide laws. As you all know, what are the seven Noahide laws? You have the first, the three big capital ones, and those are the ones that Yehorig Val Yavar, the Abba the Poet Zorah, Gili Aroyas and Shvichas Damim, but then you also have Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet. What's Aleph Beis Gimel? Aleph stands for Eivor Min HaChai, Beis stands for Birchas Hashem. Birchas Hashem means Chas Hashem, really a curse, so we say it in a nice way, Birchas Hashem. Gimel stands for Gezel, and Dalet stands for Dinam. Dinam means that they have to establish a justice system to go and establish laws and regulations, as well as punishments for those that don't follow. So Aleph is Eivor Min HaChai. So a goy is not allowed to eat Eivor Min HaChai. And there are psukim in the Torah in Parshas Noach addressing this. So when does the Eivor Min HaChai end? Eivor Min HaChai ends by a yid at the time of shechita. Once you shechted it, no longer Eivor Min HaChai. However, if the animal is still tzapling means it's still jerking around, makes no difference. Once the shechita has taken place, this animal is considered to be dead, and from this point on, you can start taking from the animal and start eating. I know you're going to have problems about melicha, we're going to have problems about you have to go and cook it, all of that is true. But in terms of the kashrus of the animal, once you've done a shechita, it's no longer Eivor Min HaChai, and you could theoretically eat it already on the spot. However, the Gabi Agoy, he doesn't have Hilchos Shechita. He does have Hilchos Eivor Min HaChai. When does his Eivor Min HaChai terminate? When does that Issa terminate? When the animal is not just halachically dead, but it's really dead. So it's not shaking, and it's not jerking, and it's not doing anything more. Says Rav Acha Bar Yankiv, that would be the Nafka Minna Lagabi, this case of Nikva Horeya in between the Shechita of the Veshit and the kana and the veshit. Why? Because we're deeming it as if I'm taking the whole b'nei me'ayim, the reya. We remember that after that, the Gemara added, according to one man, the Yamar, not only the reya, but even the same thing would apply if there were holes in the b'nei me'ayim itself, in the intestines. It's all as if it's already removed, since you already shechted part of the animal. Now, at that point, vis-a-vis us and vis-a-vis the goyim, he certainly couldn't eat it yet, because it's still Eivor Min HaChai until you severed that final simen of the veshit, and that didn't occur yet. But by Unz Yidin, as soon as the veshit, in fact, is cut, wonderful. Now we can go and eat from those b'nei me'ayim, anything of the innards in the animal. The goy, however, would not be able to go and eat from it yet. Why not? Because if the animal is still shaking, this would be considered Eivor Min HaChai. Moreover, something which is already branded Eivor Min HaChai vis-a-vis the Gentiles remains Eivor Min HaChai, even if after that you went and shechted or killed the rest of the animal. So you have here a cow, you have sheep, somebody ripped off one of the limbs, Tzar Balachayim, for sure, and somebody started eating from it, Eivor Min HaChai. no problem, let's go and kill the animal, and then retroactively it won't be, since you severed it when it was still Eiv Menachai, it remains Eiv Menachai. So why doesn't the same thing happen by the Yidden, that these so-called removed Reya and Bnei Meayim, this should be considered to be Eiv Menachai, since it was removed before the animal officially was Gishachten, because by Unz Yidden, as soon as you do a Shechita, then all of this goes away. But that's not going to be the case by the Goy. So now, with that background, let's go back to the Gemara. Now, six lines from the top of the Amid, Amar Vachar Bar Yaakov, Shema Min Amid Reb Shimon Lakish, that since Reb Shimon Lakish says that we deem the Reya as well as the Menei Meayim as if they were lifted from the animal and put Keman to Mancha B'dikul Edamia, so from this point on, Mizam Yisol B'Nei Meayim, you could go and invite Yidden to eat from the Menei Ayim of the animal after the Veshit had been severed, because the Shechita will now take away any potential Eiv Menachai issues. But you cannot go and invite a Goy, a Gentile, to go and participate with you in the eating of that Menei Ayim. Why? What's the difference? My time. You saw the B'Shechita Talia Milza. By Yisrael, the Iker is Yoshchita Nishchita. Kim the Iker Shchita Ma'aliyah. So once we're finished off, severing not only the Kana, but the Veshit as well. Ishtarulu. So from this point on, Eivra Menachai is now history. As far as they're concerned, they don't need Shchita. They just need Nechira. Nechira means to go and kill the animal. We had a discussion earlier whether it means Dafka at the Simonim or another part of the animal. But Nechira, as long as it's dead, Uba Misa Talia Milza. Hani ke Eivr min Achai dami. These still remain like Eivr min Achai. So now, before we continue on, let's take a quick look at the Rashi, so we have a better feel for this. Midrash Shlokish. Shlokish is a little bit past a third down the Amud, around a third. Midrash Shlokish to Omer. Kimish nechtach kona. As soon as you slice the kona, have a reya kimancha b'dikula, like we saw in the Gemara, it's as if it's in a basket. Shema amino ein mezam oivichom. Al b'nei meyayim. Why? Mishum reya. To have a kemisho hitziyam and a behema ba'oidim afarcheset. We just said now that we look upon it, we deem it as if we lifted out the b'nei meyayim from the animal when it's still mefarcheset, meaning it's still shaking and jerking back and forth. Okay. Ba'oidim kechavim la b'shchita toli heter achile didei. By oidim kechavim, the fact that you ultimately finish off the shchita, that doesn't help him. Shloi huskar shchita etzloi. He doesn't have hilchish shchita. He doesn't have v'zavachta mibkorcha mitzvaincha. He doesn't have a mitzvah v'shachar as ben abakar lefnei Hashem. Ve'ivim menachai neselem, but they have the isra ivim menachai, which is one of the seven mitzvahs b'nei noyach. Ve'in yoitzlehem ideivim menachai ad she'tomus, until it actually expires. Avli Yisrael yotzem ideivim menachai al yedei shchitasa. So as soon as we finish the shchita, the Yisrael is allowed to eat it, but vis-a-vis the goy, he's not allowed to eat it until the animal actually physically dies.
So there's a different definition of death for a Jew and a Gentile?
For purposes of eating meat, not chas v'shalom, for a person who passes away.
Ravenna.
Yes.
So, I go to buy a kosher piece of meat.
Yes.
You can eat it without cooking, without anything.
Now you're getting into a different topic. You're talking about whether you can eat raw meat without... Okay, so there's a big problem of what we call malicha. Malicha means you have to draw out the blood.
Right.
So first you have to wash the meat, you have to go and put salt on it, and then you have to go and wash it again.
Right.
After that, then you can cook it, and then you can go and eat it. When it comes to tzli, tzli means roasting meat, then you only need just a minimal amount of salt, because the assumption is that the fire of the barbecue, of the roasting, is going to draw out all of the blood. But our Gemara is not addressing that now. We're going to address that in another four or five lines. We're going to get to the din of Malicha that you have to salt the meat. Yes?
If I'm not mistaken, this was the machlokas between Yosef and his brothers.
Mm-hmm. When he was Oivre and Eivre Menchai,
you're not? Right, because they held that they was already mutter. It was already the chazak of Eiv Menachai, it was already mutter to eat, and Yosef reported it as if they were eating Avram ben Achai to his father, to Yaakov. You know.
Sounds good. I don't remember hearing that, but sounds good. Very good.
I think it's in the Parshas Vayeshev, in the Bassam Ra.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very good.
The content of what that report was.
Shkoyach. So, bottom line is, this is what we have so far of Rav Acha ben Yaakov. Amar Papa, have you seen the Kamid Rav Acha ben Yaakov? I was there, and when he gave this shir and he gave this psak halacha, uboy de'emalei, and I wanted to ask him a rhetorical type of question. Mi ikam midi de Yisrael shari la'ivik chavim aser. Does that make sense? After all, we didn't have 613 mitzvahs. We have the whole Torah kula. They only have these seven rules and regulations, the seven Noahide laws, mitzvahs b'nei noach. Are you going to go and tell me that for a yid there are certain kulas, and the goyim they have a chumra like chavim aser? However, v'loy amrile, but I didn't answer him. In other words, all this was bothering me. Rav Papa says of Yisivna, and I was thinking to myself, this is kind of ironic. It's counterintuitive that Yisraelim should have a heter, and for the Goyim it should be Yasser. V'loy Amrile, but he didn't say anything. Why? Damina ha-taymak amar. After all, he didn't just go and say this based on some thought of hypothetical theory, but he said a good tatam. The Beis Un Hashokish said that you deem this B'nai Mayayim as if it's removed, and it was removed before the Shechita ended. As soon as the Shechita ends, for Yidin, we're okay. But by the Goyim, it still depends on whether it's considered to be a dead Behem or not. So, different standards. So since he gave this logical explanation based on Rish Lakish, I didn't check him. But the Gemara tells us, Tanya Deloik Rav Acha B'Yankov. Well, a Masa, we have a price that does not follow Rav Acha B'Yankov. And the Gemara doesn't tell us what the Svara behind the Brisa is, but Tosis tells us that the Svara is based Taka on Rav Papa said, that it's hard to conjecture, hard to believe, that a Goy should have Chumris that a Yid does not have. I don't get upset. I know you're going to go and bring me 85 Gemaras and say otherwise. But this is the second Tosis. Echad Koyvichom, the Echad Yisrael Mutarin. This is the Brisa that we're going to say momentarily. Mashmet ha-taima mishum, why taka are Jews and Goyim equated in our situation? Mishum delek immediately Yisrael shari ul-oivikachom aser. Because of this very svara that Rav Papa was now enunciating, how could it be a kula for Yidin? Yeah, no problem, you can eat it, but the Goy is not allowed to eat it. The taima, I'm going to ask you a whole bunch of kashas elsewhere in Shas. One of the classic ones that people always think of is, for instance, Gezel, yes. Pachas Mishava Pruta. So I give you some homework. If you look at this Toises, go down to about 10 lines before the end of the Toises, and he brings from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Mi Gezel, the Pachas Mishava Pruta. You have that? So this issue that's bothering you, and I saw you already got agitated and upset and anxious, Toises Baruch Hashem deals with it. But getting back to our Gemara, so now we have a Braisa which is mamish on point what we're talking about. Time to look at Bacham or Yankiv. Haroitza lechem ben behema kuidim shetetze nafsha. Person wants to be able to go and eat from the behema before the behema's life has ended. Obviously, you cannot go and take it before Shechita has ended, because that's the Jewish definition of the end of life of a behema, Shechita. But what happens, Kodesh Shetetze Nafsha, means that the animal is still jerking around even post-Shechita. And in fact, if you ever go to a Shlachtos, even today, you will see that animals, even after their Geshachten, sometimes they'll stand up, walk five steps, and then collapse. How could that be? Those are the laws of nature that Kodesh Baruch Hu created. The obvious example, if you don't go to Shlachtos, is if you've ever seen a lizard, cut off the tail of the lizard, and it'll keep on jerking around for the next 5-10 seconds. Doesn't have a head, the tail, by definition. L'rosh v'lo l'zanav, right? You cut off the zanav and it keeps on going, waving back and forth. I'm sure all of you have seen it or you've heard of it. And if you haven't seen it, I'm not recommending that you try and experiment, because you could have problems of tzar balachayim, but if you ever see the end of the lizard, it still goes back and forth. So the same thing we got in behemas. So now, a person who wants to eat from behema flesh, from the meat, before teitzah nafshi, before that jerking ends. And you're wondering to yourself, why would a person want to do that? It's a person who has these crazy ideas. So the Gemara is going to tell us in another 6-7 lines, Haroitza Shiyavri, that this is very, very healthy in terms of nutrients, minerals, and for the body, and all the rest. Why? What? Chvesnish. And remember, there are other Gemaras which go through all different types of foods which are healthy and not healthy. And the Rambam says in the Yadach Azaka that many of this does not apply today because of the fact that the human beings' organs and stuff have developed over the years, and so therefore what things may have been very healthy in yesteryear may not be that healthy today, and vice versa. In fact, Gemara says one of the real good nutrients is if you have fish, which is already a couple days old. I don't have to tell you, if you eat fish, which is a couple days old, you're likely to go and suffer for the next week or two. But Lamasa, that's what, at least in the times of the Gemara, you wanted to be healthy, you took a piece of meat before Teitzei Nafsha, in other words, the animal is still jerking. The best place would be from the Beis HaShechita, because that's where you have most of the blood rushing into the Beis HaShechita at the time of the Shechita. Obviously, says the Gemara, but don't eat it before. This is Reuven HaLevi's point. Avadi, you have to go and salt it very, very thoroughly, because in fact it does have a lot of blood inside. Umadicha yafi yafi, and you have to also wash it thoroughly. The Mefarshim talk about why doesn't it say madicha yafi yafi before the molcha yafi yafi, because in fact every time you are salting meat you have to do two hadachas, one before and one afterwards. One before to allow for the salt to enter into the pores, so to speak, of the animal, of the meat, and then to allow the, when you wash it, to get the salt and the blood out, whatever still remaining. Anyway, umamtin lo, and now you wait at your teitzei nafsha. It's interesting, the Gemara brings this at this point. Presumably, by the time you did the melicha, the yitzias hanefesh already took place an hour ago. After all, you don't just put on salt for 5 minutes. It's got to wait there for a while. So presumably, the mamtin lo at your teitzei nafsha means pre or during the time of the melicha. And after this takes place, and not only a yid is allowed to eat from it, even a goy is allowed to eat from it. Yeah, but didn't you cut it off before yetzias hanefesh? Isn't that therefore a situation of Eivir Min HaChai that didn't have the benefit of shechita because goyim don't have the mitzvah of shechita? So therefore, it should remain Eivir Min HaChai even post the shechita. Says Yom, no. We don't want that the goyim should be held to a different standard than the yidin. If the yidin are mutabai, and that's what Tosis said, mashma, although the Gemara doesn't spell it out, but that's the reason it wouldn't make sense that a yid is allowed to eat it and a goy is not allowed to eat it. What would happen then is, according to Rav Acha ben Yankev, in your supermarkets where you have kosher and non-kosher meat, you'd have to go and put an asterisk and say, some of the kosher meat is only kosher for the Jews, but it's not kosher for the goyim. They're not allowed to eat the b'nei me'ayim because of the fact that if it was taken out prior to the conclusion of the shechita and the animal is still jerking around, it would be Eivir Min HaChai. And we don't have that. Anyway, so this was what Rav... Not even a Munzi, can you imagine? So we have over here now this machlokes, and now the Gemara continues on. Messiah leader of Idi Bar Avin, what we just had now in this brisa, that a person wants to eat from the behema koidim shetetze nafsha, and we all thought to ourselves, what type of crazy thing is that? If you want to be gesund, then go and cut off the k'zayis basar when the animal is still jerking around. Don't eat it immediately. Wait until teitzei nafsha, yitzias neshama, not only through shechita, but even post shechita. Now when that has ended, so then not only can you eat it, but even the goyim can eat it as well. And therefore, we conclude like Rav Papa, and not like Rav Acha ben Yankev. Rav Acha ben Yankev says, don't invite a goy in your house to go and eat b'nei me'ayim for potential Eivir Min HaChai reasons. No Eivir Min HaChai problem. If you wait until after not only shechita but also teitzei nafsha, then it's mutter lakar.
Brief question. We're talking about b'nei me'ayim. They're similar to the rea of the kana.
Mm-hmm.
They are part of the gastric system, the digestive system.
Correct.
Why are we talking about eating b'nei me'ayin if it's not k'munach b'dikla, it's still part of the system, right? I mean, it does go back on the system more, but we start talking about b'nei me'ayin. It's a different subsystem of the animal.
If you go back yesterday,
yeah,
you have Gufa Om Reb Shimon Lakish. This is about 10-12 lines from the bottom of the Yom. Shachle me'akach nikva reya k'sheira Om Rav Liyom Reb Shimon Lakish ela b'reya.
Right.
Rabbi, from here to the rest of today's daf, and most, if not all, of tomorrow's daf, we're going to get into Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara. And people kind of get a little bit nervous when we get into Tumah V'Tahara, because many of us are not really that familiar with all the nuances and all the intricate halachas. But we're going to try to make it as simple as possible, so you shouldn't be too overwhelmed by the whole process. So we start off, the person is Shechtim Mehema B'Chai V'Oif. And no blood spurred out. Has this ever happened in history? I doubt it, because every behemah chai v'oif has blood going through the veins and the arteries, otherwise it would be a goner, it would be dead. So to say that when you shechted it, that no dam came out, is a highly difficult thing to believe. Once again, we may be talking about hypotheticals and theoreticals, or we could be talking about one of the behemoths in the Paro's dream, which was so scrawny that it barely had enough blood going through the system. So when you injected it, no blood started spurting out, the dam nefesh that you would normally expect. Okay. Anyway, bottom line, there is no doubt.
Ophos we had by Malika, that sometimes it's such, the birds are so small, there's almost no dams. So.
That helps, but what? That helps for the oif. What, right, are you going to say, behemah mechaya? Right. Then we're going to have a problem there. Good. Anyway, so there's no dam that is spurred out. No. What difference does that make to me if there is dam or not? L'choyer, that makes life much simpler, because if there's no dam, I have to do only a minimal malicha, because there's no dam coming out anyway. But the Gemara is not addressing malicha shalas. We're now addressing rather Hechsher Oichlin Shalas. As you recall, food items only become Mukhsher Lekabel Tumma if one of the seven Mashkin fell on them. Yad Shechadam. And what is Dalid of the Yad Shechadam referred to? It refers to Dam. So Dam is a Mukhsher. Normally we think of, you have, for instance, you just cut tomatoes from the vine. They, the Val, at this moment, are not susceptible to Mekabel Tumah. When will they be susceptible to Mekabel Tumah? When one of the seven liquids falls on. Normally, when we think of the liquids, we think of water. True. But it doesn't have to be water. One of the seven mashkes is dam, blood on it. You're wondering what the other five are? Brother Shai will tell you at the end of the share. That's why you have Yad Shechadam, which is seven altogether. So now, under normal circumstances, once you shecht a behemah chai v'oif, some blood is going to come out. By a behemah v'chai, usually tons of blood spurt out, and that spurting of the blood goes over the rest of the animal, as well as on the floor, in the case of kachim, into the mizrak, and therefore that dam will be machshir the animal, so that if this animal were now touched by a nevela, by a sheret, by a zav, Balkeri, Nida, all of those, it would become Tame.
Didn't we learn before that when you put fruits in the roof, you have to wish that it becomes?
That's correct. That's Yutan.
Don't you have to prepare, have Kavana, that you're going to get it?
Yutan Dumye Techiyite. Dumye Techiyite means that it's Nichle, that he's happy. This person is happy that he's shechting the animal, and he knows as a result of the shechita that blood is going to spurt out. That's deemed to be that he's happy that there's blood on it. So now it becomes mukhsher lekabel tumah. So now, lo yotze mihen dam, it's ksherim, it's kosher in terms of the shechita, that's nothing to worry about. V'necholim yidai musu avois, and you can even eat from it when your hands are tumay. Typically, when you see the word yidai musu avois, a siren goes up, or an alarm goes on in your mind. We're talking about a tuma d'rabbanan, not a tuma d'iraisa. Because if it's a tuma d'iraisa, the whole body would be tummy, not that the hands would be tummy. How do hands become tummy? The Gemara in the beginning of Masech, the Shabbos, when you have the Yud Ches Dover, one of the gzeiris that the Chama made mid-rabbanan is stam yodayim shniyos. Your hands at all times are considered to be shniyos, meaning at the level of a sheni l'tumah. And if you want to remove that yodayim shniyos, you just have to wash your hands. You don't have to go to the mikveh, you don't have to immerse them in a mikveh. Just wash your hands, and that takes away your shniyos tumah.
Second
hand? Second hand. Very good. Second hand. Second hand. Shelly, oh, he would enjoy this. Okay, anyway. So v'nechalim b'yodayim misu'aleis, you can go and eat now, even if you did not wash your hands, to remove that tumah of shniyos. Why? Officially, since you told me by definition that no dam came out, and we're assuming that no water spilled on it, and so therefore this entire animal was never mukshar. You know, say, didn't you have to go and put on water for purposes of malicha? The Tosis in the bottom talks about that. But that's not our consideration. The point is, if there is no hechsher by dam, and no water, and nothing else has spilled on it, so it's not susceptible to mekabel tumah. So even if your hands are tumah, makes no difference. The shechita itself is machshir. In other words, normally you need one of the seven mashkois. Says Reb Shimon, the inyan of shechita, since it is such a matir in the sense of it takes away the big isra of Eiv Menachai, so migoy, that it helps for Eiv Menachai purposes, it also causes this oichel to become now.
I was standing up.
Oh, yeah, I'm so sorry. Anyway, come on in. We're delighted to have you. Come on in. We're so happy that you're here. And Amir is happy to go and join me on the right. And you can imagine how happy I am that he's joining me. Anyway. Okay, so welcome aboard. Thank you. So getting back to our Gemara, Reb Shimon holds you don't need the hechsher of mashkois when it comes to shechita. The shechita itself is the grace of machshir. If it's machshir to make it kosher, that it's no longer Eiv Menachai, it's machshir that it's now susceptible to Hilchos Tumah B'Tzach. Okay. Zokti Imar. We started off the Mishnah, the reason why you can go and eat it with hands which are tmeyois, shniyois, tamdol yotzim en dam. That's what the Mishnah said. Officially hachshir b'dam. Ho yotzim en dam, if dam had splattered out and spurred out over the behema, then ain't a chom yadayim yisrael, then you wouldn't be allowed to. For tomorrow, I don't understand what the problem is. Yadayim are shniyoy saying. They only rise to the level of a sheni latuma. Vein sheni oise shlishi bechulin. And we know a sheni doesn't make a shlishi bechulin. What does that mean? So you start off that there is a hierarchy of levels of tuma. The worst tumah, of course, that we know is chas v'sholom, a dead body of a person. That's what we call the avi, avois hatumah, the granddaddy of all tumahs. If a person touches that avi, avois hatumah, he becomes an avatumah. But that's only one example of an avatumah. You have tons of avatumah. Oh, what tons? If you have an animal that died, it becomes an avela, that is also an avatumah. If you have one of the shmoinish shiratzim that died, that's an avatumah. You have a woman that's a nida, a zava, a man who's a zav, balker. All of those are av hatumas. What can an av hatumah do? An avatumah, when it touches either odom or kalim, and for that matter, even ochlin or mashkin, it makes the other odom, the kalim, into a rishain litumah. Okay? What can a rishain litumah do? If an odom has become now rishain litumah, he can only be metameh oichlun umashkin, he cannot be metame odom v'kelim. And avi avoy satuma can be metame everything.
Right.
And
everybody.
Thank you.
To shame me. That's right.
Exactly.
Only Rabbi, I can say something.
Let's just finish this.
Gemara today, because he go the samachloket, because if you cannot, because the people want to level themselves to kedoshim and stop to be chulim and practice. Rabbi, that's a big machloket, but we don't practice like
this. Today, of course, none of this applies because, unfortunately, we don't have truma, we don't have kachim. What you're
it's
telling me...
assumption, scenario, if... will happen like that.
Okay, Metzim, Yemois HaShiach, all of this will come back, Metzim, and we'll reviving all these halachos. But let's just return to what we were saying. So an avatuma, like a person who touched a mess, or a person, an avela, for an easy case. An avela is an avatuma. An avatuma now touches odom v'kelim. If a person touches that dead nevela, he becomes a rishon l'tumah. What can a rishon l'tumah do? A rishon l'tumah cannot be metame odom v'kelim, but it can metame oichlin u'mashkin. Now that we said it's metame oichlin u'mashkin, how far down the ladder can they become tame? So there's a difference between chulin, truma, and kachim. Very good. Thank you. You're absolutely right.
Truma and chulin, and they try to put themselves in level of kedusha all the time.
Yeah. We're going to get to that. You're talking about a person who is noheg by chulin al taras hakodesh al taras truma. But we're not up to that point. You're three steps ahead of us. So by chulin, it only goes down to a sheni. So if you have a person who is a Rishon L'tumah, how did he become a Rishon L'tumah? He touched an avela, he becomes a Rishon. He touches now Chulin, the Chulin goes to a Sheni. But the Sheni stops over there. Meaning if that Chulin now touches other Chulin, nothing happens. So it's Gunish mit Gunish. Why? Because Chulin only goes to a Sheni. And therefore, the same thing now...
He's a holy man.
We know that. We know that he's a holy man.
And now a holy man.
One of the holiest.
Rabbi, where you want to go?
Reb Shulam, let's try to finish the Gemara and then you'll tell us about the holy.
We gotta go to work.
You gotta go to work, yeah.
That's all the comments.
Okay, let's go. Yeah. So we have now a case of a Rishon making something into a Sheni. Now you can have Yudayim Shniyoisein. The Yudayim are Shenis because that's the Din D'Rabbanan that all Stam Yudayim are Shniyois. What happens if now those shniyas touch chulin? Nothing happens, because we just said a sheni cannot go further in chulin. If you have shniyos, which are the hands are shniyos, that's a sheni. If you have food, chulin is a sheni. They cannot create a shlishi, because chulin stops there at sheni. However, by truma, you can go all the way to a shlishi. By kodshim, you can go all the way to a revi. So if you have a person who has Tumas Yodayim, he should stay away from Truma, because he's going to be Matame the Truma, because Truma can accept Tumah from a Sheni and become a Shlishi. If a person happens to be a Sheni the Tumah, stay away from Kodshim, because if you get close to Kodshim, not only will the Kodshim become a Shlishi, the Shlishi will go down even to a Ravi. So now with this just basic background, getting back to our Gemara, Freit the Gemara. We're assuming that the Reish of our Mishnah is talking about Chulin. If we're talking about Chulin, the maximum that it could go down to would be a Sheni. If this person's hands are a Sheni, what's the problem, says the Gemara? Amai Yodayim Shniyoy Sein Vein Sheni Oysi Shlishi B'Chulin. So why did we start off the Mishnah? You know the reason why you don't have to worry about eating this meat, B'Yodayim Misuavois, because there was no Hechsher of Dam. Why was there no Hechsher of Dam? Because, miraculously, no Dam came out spurting out at the time of the Shechita. What happens if it would be 50 gallons of Dam came out, and was Machsher that the whole behemoth from head to toe, mamish, every part of it? What would be the maximum that this behemoth, this Chulin, could attain? Only a Sheni L'tumah. This person's hands are already Shniyos, already a Sheni. Shniyos ain't oisish lishi b'chulin. So who cares? Whether it's mukshel kabel tuma, nish mukshel kabel tuma. With yadayim misu avos, it's never going to become tamei anyway. That's Gemara's kasha. Frank Gemara, umimaydu b'chulin askinan. Who says that our Mishnah talking about chulin? Even though it just said ashoich beim chayv oif, maybe we're talking about taka kodshim. If we're talking about kodshim goes already to a shlishi and a revi. Oh, that's why you have to be careful, says Gemara. It's impossible that our Mishnah is talking about kodshim for at least three solid reasons. What are those reasons? Diktoni chaya. We said hashrich behema chay va'oif. Chaya. We're talking about kosher chayas, like kosher venison, kosher deer, things of that nature. But guess what? You cannot bring kodshim from chayas. The only thing that you can bring kodshim from is mina behema, mina bakar, umin hatzoin, and from oifish. And that, when we say oifish, we don't even mean chickens and ducks and
birds
geese.
Birds themselves.
What type of birds? Only toirim b'nei yoina. So ibazoi, our Mishnah cannot be talking about godshim. We're going to be talking about shoichim b'hem v'chayiv oifish. That doesn't make sense. Zokimar. How do we know they're talking about chulin? Number one, diktani chay, the ilu kodshim, chay bekodshim yeka. That's kasha number one. Kasha number two, v'su. The Mishnah starts off v'la yotz mehen dam ksheim. It's a bloodless shchita, no blood. It's still kosher. Frege chay. If there's no blood and it's kodshim, how could it ever be kosher? Ibe kodshim kiliyotz mehen dam ksheira. Who atzim el dam mutzarf? The only thing that kashers the carbon, besides of course shechting it, is you do zrika sedam. If there's no zrika sedam, you're not letting it from this carbon. Vesu no gazach. Ibe kodshim kiyotz mehen dam mi machshir. Even if dam did come and spurt it all out over kodshim, does that give it a hechsher? Vom rabchia bar ab om rabyoichel minayin ledam kodshim shi. Even though generally we say the dam is one of the seven mashkois which are machshir, but not by kodshim. Why? What is the beginning of the pasuk referring to dam? And it says loy teichlenu, don't eat dam. Rather, what do you do with the dam? Al oritz tishbuchenu, go and pour it out, pour it down the drain, because you're not allowed to eat from dam. Says Yimar, al oritz tishbuchenu kamoyim, dam shenishbuch kamayim machshir. Your average dam, which is just waste, which you're going to go and pour into the sewer, that is machshir. That's what the pasuk says. That aloritz yishbachenu kamoyim. However, she'ena nishbach kamayim, which is what? The dam kachim. You don't pour out the dam kachim. You use it to be hazois and zrikas on the mizbeach. Eina machshir. That's not machshir. V'su enocha kasha. Ibe kodeshim ki liyotim hen dam loy miskashri. Who says by kachim that it's totally in the seven mashkois? Liskashi b'chibas ha-koidish. The kain b'lan chibas ha-koidish machshir rosan is a special inyan by kodshim because of its elevated status. It doesn't even need a machshir. The chibas ha-koidish, just the fact that it happens to be part of the whole apparatus of the Beis HaMikdash and the Kabbonis and all that, that itself gives a hechshir l'tumah. Rashi gives an example. For instance, we know that Eitzim Ulevoina, if a person goes and brings Eitzim Levoina into the Beis HaMikdash, even though that is not an Ochel, the Chibas HaKodesh Meshavi LeOchla, and makes it like it's an Ochel. I can't eat Eitzim, I can't eat Levoina. But nevertheless, the Chibas HaKodesh gives it an elevated special status. So Gemara says the Chibas HaKodesh would be Machshir even if there's no blood. So who cares that it says in the Mishnah, LeYotze Mehen Dam, and you can eat Lefish LeHochshir B'Dam. I don't need the Dam to be Machshir if we were talking about Kachim. So bottom line is, it's crystal clear, we're not talking about kachim. The first rye is the best rye. You don't need to come on to all the other ryes. It says, Yashoich b'hema chaya v'oif. Chaya cannot be a carbon. Impossible. So we must be talking about chulin. If we're talking about chulin, chulin can only go to a sheni. So hadra kusha l'duchta. If a person's hands are shniyois, they cannot produce chulin that it will become susceptible to tumah, because the tumah only goes to lasheni. A sheni cannot make a sheni. A sheni can only make a shlishi. That's Imor's kasha. Okay?
Can get chulin that is a rishi, that is not a sheni, and make it a sheni because it's a sheni.
Now, for instance, if an avatuma touched chulin,
not an avatuma.
You're talking a rishi and the tumah touches chulin?
No, I have my dirty hands.
Your dirty hands. Your hands are clean, Baruch Hashem.
But ritually.
Yes, ritually, your diamonds are always. They have a din of a sheni.
Sheni, and I touch clean food.
You touch clean food.
So does it become a sheni?
No.
Zero. Gunished. Nada. Shemi. Nothing. So, Ibazoi, Zuktimura, a sheni can only cause a sheni.
Gotta hand it to you.
A similar question.
Okay. A sheni can only make a shlishi, and there's no shlishi b'chulin. That's Imor's kasha.
Yes. I have a similar question.
Please. One second. He's asking, then you'll ask. Yeah.
If someone has an avatumaka, a sheretz, and it touches truma,
right?
The truma is being contaminated by an av.
Right.
Does the truma right away go to a shlishi, or does it become a rishon?
Comes a rishon.
So, and then this therefore, next truma can now matame chulin, can now matame other truma.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. Good. So back to Gemara.
Do we have the concept that a
mashkin,
though, gets an upgrade?
That's the Gemara
mashkin?
And Pesach,
and Pesachim.
The upgrade, the step up.
No, you're talking about that mashkin. Yeah. I thought you're talking mashkin, and a person took a loan, he gives him a mashkin. You're talking mashkin, mashkois, to go and pour. So what's your question? Sorry.
So isn't that an upgrade in certain circumstances where you touched it?
They are mashkois that become, although they start off as a shame, they become a rishon.
Upgrades.
That's not our sugi over here, because we're not talking about, you're talking about mashke, which is the final product that you want to drink. The other mashke is the one that is machsher. Machsher has nothing to do with it.
But yain is one of those.
That's true.
Yain is one of those upgradable mashkos that go to a rishon, but it's also one of, it's the yud of the yad shachatam, yain.
That's right, 100% right. But we're not talking about that. The same thing would apply to water as well. We're not talking about wine that you're drinking, we're talking about wine that's being machsher.
Right.
So makes no difference whether tumma touches it or not.
Yeah.
If the yain happens to be tumma or the yain happens
because
to be tar, it is a machsher. It's a machsher of the kabbalah.
Bill was asking if he touched mashkin, could that
could be under certain circumstances. But here we're talking about touching fleish.
Okay.
And fleish is by definition a machl, not a mashkin. Okay, so let's continue on. Talk to you more about it. Omer of Nachman, Omer Rabbi Vor. So remember, the kash of the Gemara is very simple. The Mishnah must be talking about Chulin. Chulin can only go down to a Sheni. Why am I concerned that this person's hands are Tamei, that they're a Tumah of a Shniyois of a Sheni? A Sheni cannot go and make a Sheni. So this Behema Fleish is going to remain Tohar perfectly. So what's the problem? Omer of Nachman, Omer Rabbi Vor. Hachab Chulin, so the Gemara is going to give three answers. All of the three answers are going to address the shaila. First, Tarets is talking about not regular chulin. We're talking chulin, which is master sheni. We all know what means master sheni. Master sheni means that a person who's a farmer and he now has tvua or other things that have grown in his garden, he has to first give truma to the kohen, then he has to give master rishon to the levi, and then the first and second and fourth and fifth year, he has to go and take master sheni, take it up to Yerushalayim. Master Sheni, as we'll see on the Umid Beis, is a machloikis, whether it has the status of chulin, and therefore only goes to a Sheni, or maybe it has a status like Truma, and it goes to a Shlishi. So if we could go and make the Behema Chayav Oif of our Mishnah talk about Master Sheni, so there Taka goes to a Shlishi. But Master Sheni is something that grows from the ground. You don't give Master Sheni on animal meat. Yeah. But you can go and buy the animal with Master Sheni money, and therefore this chulin will be nasa in a sense like al taras hamaiser. There's no such concept taras hamaiser. I'm just borrowing a term that we're going to have later on, al taras a truma, taras a kachim. But it means that this chulin now is going to be transformed into Master Sheni food. Oh, Master Sheni food, according to one man, the Yamad, there's going to be a machlekes on the Yamad base, whether that is susceptible to becoming only a Sheni, like regular chulin, or whether it can even go one step further and become a Shlishi. And that's Imoris Teret. We're talking about that you bought this Behema Chai V'Oif in Yerushalayim, and you shechted it. Where did you get the money to buy the Behema Chai V'Oif? From Master Sheni money. So now, after you shechted it, this meat now is Master Sheni meat. If your hands happen to be Shniois, if you hold like the Mandi Omer that Master Sheni can go down to a Shlishi, Baruch Hashem, there's no blood. It didn't become Mukshul Kabbal Tumah. Because if it would become Mukshul Kabbal Tumah, and I have my Yadayim Misuavis, my Yadayim Shniyos, and I touch it, it's going to electrify this meat, and it's going to become a Shlishi. But because Baruch Hashem, there was no dam, nothing to worry about, because it didn't become Mukshul Kabbal Tumah. That's bottom line, the Teretz. Anybody have any kashas?
Maaser Sheni, if according to the Mandamer, the Maaser Sheni can become a Shlishi.
Yes.
Can it be eaten, or is it be destroyed because it's Tomei Maaser Sheni now?
What's
the consequence? I mean,
no. The only time you have to destroy something is if you're talking about Trumo, you're talking about Kachem. Maaser Sheni, you just have to make sure.
So it'd be Tomei Maaser Sheni, is it?
Just like Tomei Chulin, you have Tomei Maaser Sheni. Is Omer Nachman Rabbi Vua Halchem Chulin Shiglok Mekesem Maaser Asina? That these three, the Behema, the Chaya, the Oif were bought with Kesem Maser, but not like Remeir. Did not. We have in the Mishnah. We're stating the Mishnah. Kol HaToin Bias Mayim Divrei Sofrim. That's a code term to mean that it's, your hands are tummy midrabanan, which means it's a shniyos, since it's a sheni, metami sakoidish, poisels a truma, umutta bachulin ubemaisa divremeya. Since your hands are a sheni, it's metami sakoidish. Who means metami sakoidish? If it touches kodshim, the kodshim become a shlishi, and the kodshim are such a high madrega that they can share their tumma and make a revi. So that we mean metami sakoidish, that there goes two further levels of tumma. The hands are shniyos, they touch the kodshim become a shlishi, and that shlishi in turn can go and be metame other kodshim to become a revi. As well as, if you're talking about truma, truma only goes to a shlishi. So therefore, my hands, which are shniyos, when they touch the truma, they can become posel. Posel means that they become taka tamei, but the tuma stops here, the buck stops here. They cannot spread tuma to other truma, because truma ended a shlishi. Umutze b'chulin, since my hands are tamei midivrei sofer, meaning that it's only a sheni, it's mutze b'chulin, no problem, I can touch chulin, I can pick it up, I can embrace it, I can kiss it, I can carry it, whatever. It's totally mutter because it does not, it can eat it, make a bracha, of course, but it does not cause any tumor problems for chulin, because chulin goes to a sheni, my hands are already a sheni, so we cannot go and make it more sheni. But now continues Rameir, and the same thing applies to Meiser, that it stops at a sheni, it doesn't go further. Div Rameir, the chomim oisrim a maser, no, no, they say maser in this sense is like a truma, and therefore if you have Yodayim misu avos, that your hands are tamei, and they were to touch Meiser, the Meiser is going to become now tamei, or posel, like the Gemara said, by Truma. Oh, so therefore, according to these Chachomim, the Mishnah works out very well. When we said that if you shechted a Behem Chayv Oif, make sure that there is no Hechshel Lekabel Tumah, because there is no Dam, because if you're eating it, being Yodayim misu avos, normally you would be Metamei the Basar, but there's no Hechshel over here because there was no Dam. It's talking about, according to Chachomim, flesh that was bought with Maser Sheni money, and therefore it is susceptible to rise, or I'm sorry, to go to, not only to a Sheni, but even to a Shlishi. So according to this is a very, very good teretz, it works perfectly. But Maser Rav Simon bar Ashi, says Rav Simon bar Ashi, I'm not sure that I agree. Me might. Tell me, I'd come to plead Rabban Ali, the mayor, Elabachilas Maser. I'll be Nagia the Maser. Maybe we're only talking about achilas maaser. Meaning, when we say v'chum oisr maaser, the oisr meant don't go and eat from maaser that has now become tummy. Obviously, we're talking about a person that is careful to eat his chulav and to eat his maaser b'tahar. If you're talking about an amoritz that doesn't care, no problem. But if you're careful about not eating anything b'tahara, so maybe that's what the chum aser. That if you had a person who had shniyos and touched the chulin, and now the chulin has become a shlishi, say the chum oyster, don't go and eat from it. That's ad kam li brel bana der meir ela bachilas meiser. Al benegir dem meiser, bachilat chulin is really not shayach to our sugi, it's just brought in from a gemara mesechtes chagiga. The ikar is al benegir dem meiser leipligi, when it comes to the gizuntai. There's no machloikis. What it means, no machloikis. Even the chachamim would agree that your yudayim shniyos, your hands are a sheni, they can touch meiser, and they will not cause the meiser to become a shlishi. He's not allowed to eat from the meiser, but he's allowed to touch the meiser. Gzuntai. Where do you come up with this? Of course, says the Gemara, on the giyahi. Our case of the Mishnah is not talking about eating, it's talking about touching. What are you talking about? Well, midiktoni, because it said in the Mishnah, ne'acholim b'yadayim misu avos. They can be eaten with hands which are tamei tamei shniyos. That sounds like you're eating, it doesn't sound like you're touching. So k'timara mili askinim dekasafi lechavrei. Isn't it talking about that somebody else is feeding and putting into his mouth? Why is the Gemara coming up with this somewhat unusual pshat? Says Rashi, because it doesn't say in the Gemara, or doesn't say in the Mishnah, oichlin b'yadayim misu avos, it says ne'echolim. What's the difference between oichlin and ne'echolim? Oichlin, of course, is the active form. Ne'echolim is the passive form. Like the difference between kal and nifal. So how can a person eat without eating on his own? Somebody is feeding him and putting it into his mouth. And therefore, our Mishnah is saying that the person who is doing the feeding, Reuven is feeding Shimon and is putting the food into Shimon's mouth. Reuven, make sure that if this animal is mukhshar lekabel tuma, don't go and touch the flesh, because you're daim yadayim shniyos. What you have to do is wash your hands to get off that tuma. Since Baruch Hashem and our Mishnah is talking about that there was no blood, so it didn't become mukhshar lekabel tuma. Therefore, you're allowed to touch now the meat, and you're allowed to go and feed it to Shimon. So our Mishnah, therefore, is not talking about an achila situation, it's talking about a negia situation. Even the Rabbanan that said that Meiser is similar to Truma, that it goes to a Shlishi, that's only the terms of eating from it. Reuven is not eating. Reuven is feeding it to Shimon. And therefore, vis-a-vis Reuven, he is only doing a Negia. Could be, says the Gemara, Dilma, even the Rabbanan would agree to Reb Meir, that if you are just touching the Meiser with your Yadayim, which are Shniyos, nothing happens. Zero. Just like when you have your daim shniyos and you touch chulin, nothing happens because it only goes to a sheni. For purpose of negia, meiser is the same thing. It only goes to a sheni. Ah, but didn't the Rabbanan say it becomes osrim and meiser? Don't eat it if you have your daim shniyos and put it into your mouth. That you can't. But it doesn't say anything about being fed by somebody else. Mi lo yaskin de kosofi lechavrei. Therefore, says the Gemara, the pshat that we just gave now, which sounded so logical and sounded so good, unfortunately has a major pircha. Not that we know for sure that the pshat doesn't work, we're just saying maybe it doesn't work, because maybe the Chacham distinguished between achila and negia, and maybe the Chacham would also agree that negia b'mais is like negia b'chulin, and it doesn't get you anywhere, because if your hands are shniyos, the chulin and the meiser cannot become tamei, because by definition they stop at a sheni. And therefore, says Olam Rapapa, I have a brand new pshat. The Mishnah just said yadayim misu ovois. We understood and we interpreted that to mean yadayim shniyos, because that's normally the halacha that midrabanan. How could only your hands become tummy and not the rest of the body? They become tummy with a tumah of a sheni. Our Gemara tells us now there's a unique case where you can have hands, not the rest of the body. Just the hands themselves are a rishon letumah. Which case is that? So I'm going to let you in now on the secret. If you go down about 8 lines, the Gemara says, where do you have your dying? Chilois tesanya hichnas yodav lebayis hamenuga. You come to a house where, there, unfortunately, there are blemishes, there are patches of all different types of colors, yirakrak, yidamdam, on the walls. We called over the koyin. The koyin says, Shnel, take out all of the kelim from this house before I pronounce this house to be a bayis hamenuga. Because once I call it a bayis hamenuga, it's going to be metame all the odim and all the kelim inside of this house. Now, after it becomes officially christened, I don't know if that's the proper term, as a bayis hamenuga full of nega tzaraz, from this point, anybody that walks in becomes tummy. But what happens if he didn't walk in? He just put his hands in. The Gemara is going to tell us in a moment, like all of these mandiyamim hold bia b'mixis loishma bia, just putting in the hands is gunish, nothing happens. Min ha-toira, but midrabanan, they do become tummy. What's the reason why midrabanan become tummy? Gzeira gufoy otu yodav. If I'm going to say, I put my hands in and nothing happens, so, you know, next time I'm going to go another 5 inches and another 5 inches, and nothing's happening. And then eventually I'm going to have my whole goof going in, and then I'm going to become tummy. They said, don't even put your finger, don't even let your nose protrude into the house, because in that part of the body will become tummy. At least the hands. Sorry?
It's like the hokey pokey.
The hokey pokey, exactly right. I'm not sure what the hokey pokey is, but whatever it is, I agree with you. Anyway, so bottom line is, don't put your hands in. The one happens is you do put your hands in, you shmat the cup. You're not allowed to do that. It becomes tummy. What happens now? It's a machloikis where the hands get a status of a rishon or a status of a sheni. One mandiyam, as we'll see in the Gemara, another few lines, holds it becomes a tchila, a rishon. Oh, with that, the kasha falls away. It says in the Mishnah, if you have yadayim misuavis, means that the yadayim are tchilois, the rishons, Baruch Hashem, there's no dam that was machshir the behema. Because if the dam would be machshir the behema flesh, the basar, then since your hands are a rishon, even though the behema is chulin, who cares? Rishon is going to be metam this behema because it'll become a sheni. Oh, we couldn't give that teretz until now because we assumed that yadayim misuavis means a sheni. But now that we've introduced this new chiddush that you can have a yadayim which are tchilois, rishonois, so to speak, oh, then you have to be careful not to touch so you don't have a problem of a sheni litam. Or just make sure there's no mash.
Is there, yes, a way to metahel the basar, put it in water and mikveh? Or?
By oichlin or mashkin, there's no such thing as being metahel in the mikveh. There's one exception, and that is water through hashoka. We spoke about a few days ago. But other than that, anything,
so
any...
You can
metamer your body, you can metair kelim, not all kelim, not klicheris, but you cannot be metair any ochlin whatsoever by putting the... If you immerse it 101 times, kiminyan malach, it's not going to help you. Yeah, okay. Malachi.
No, no, for your hands.
Nochem of Vusokstein?
No.
Okay. Okay, we can.
And the hands, if you do, can you retire your hands from being rishon?
Yes, 100% you can.
So just like the tefillah sedayim.
Exactly, exactly.
Same method.
Right, exactly right.
So even though it's a higher level of tuma, it's not a more attached.
Good. So Ilo Amar Papa, how come yadayim tchilas askinan Reb Shimon Alozi? But only could Reb Shimon Alozi. Who's Reb Shimon Alozi? The Sanyan. Ain yadayim tchilas tchul. That doesn't exist. No such thing. No din of yadayim tchilas. Only yadayim shniyos. No such thing. And therefore, by chulin, you never have to worry that it's going to become tamei through hands that haven't been washed, because those hands are going to be maximum yadayim shniyos. No such concept yadayim tchilas, and therefore it can't be metam chul. Reb Shimon Elazar, Mishim Reb Meir, Yadayim Tchilas Lechulin. No. There is a concept of Yadayim Tchilas. And that's why the Gemara said, our mission is going to Reb Shimon Ben Elazar. Reb Shimon Elazar is speaking now. You could have Yadayim Tchilas Lechulin. You can also have them that they should be Shniyois Lechulin. In other words, under certain circumstances, Yadayim can become a Tchilois. What circumstances? You put the hands inside the Bai Samanuga. Now you have to worry about Chulin, because since it's a Rishon, it can metame the Chulin to become a Shein. You also have to worry about your dime that are shniyos if you're playing with, you're touching truma, because the truma can become a shlishi. And of course, alachas kam v'kama, legabi kochim, you have to worry about it. So now we're being medayk Reb Shimon Elazar, your dime tchilas lechulin, and letruma loy, only for chulin you have to worry about it. If it's your dime tchilas, then you certainly have to worry about truma. So tomorrow, yo, halchi kam d'tzabach kim meint. Tchilas af lechulin. When it comes, if your hands are tchilas, not only do I have to worry about kodshim and worry about truma, I even have to worry about chulin, because chulin can go to a sheni. My hands, when they're tchilas, they are like a rishon. Rishon can manufacture a sheni, can make tumah of a sheni. However, if the hands are only shniyos, I only have to worry about truma, I don't have to worry about lechulin like. Frank Dimar, ummi ikka. Yadayim tchilos. I never heard of this concept, yadayim tchilos. Yeah, and like we spoke about 5 minutes ago, the sign it says in the price, hichnis yodol lebeis ha-menuga, mina toira, nothing happened, like we'll see in a moment, bia b'mixis loishim ha-bia, but midrabanan yodav tchilos divir Rebbe Akiva. Oh, Rebbe Akiva holds yadayim tchilos. And therefore the Reb Shimon ben Elazar that we were quoting before is going according to Rebbe Akiva. Because Chacham Oimrim, Yodav Shniyos. Even in the case of putting your hands in the Bais HaMenuga, it's only a sheni, it's no re. There is no such thing, says the Chachamim of Yadayim Tchilas. It doesn't exist. Therefore, when we said before the Mishnah could go contra Shimon Elazar, Shimon Elazar is talking Aliba de Reb Akiva. Look to the Kuli Alma, Bia Mimix of Vashma Bia. Minat Torah, there's no problem putting your hands in. It's not called bia. In other words, you haven't been habo el habayis, and therefore you are tohar totally. If you're going to allow the yadayim, you're going to give a person a finger, he's going to take a hand. You're going to give him a foot, he'll take a yard. You give him an inch, he'll take a foot. You're going to allow him to put in his hand, he'll put in his foot. And therefore he'll soon be totally tummy. So Marsov said, now, what is the machloikis now? Dr. Yomar Amar Sava Yodav Kigufoy Shevina Rabbanan. Since we wanted to give teeth to this gzeira, we said if you put in your hands, you didn't put in the whole body, it's true, you didn't walk in, maskim, but you put your hands in. And therefore, we're going to make a gzeira that the hands are, since it might lead next time, or even this time, that the whole guf is going to go in. So what would happen if the guf taka did go in totally? It would become a rishoin, because the oil of the menuga is going to have a din of an avatama. A person goes in, he becomes a rishon l'tumah. So therefore we say, midrabanan, if you didn't go in totally, just put your hands in, also becomes a rishon l'tumah. That is the din of yadayim tchilas. Umar sova, yadayim ki yadayim di alma shevin rabbanan, no difference than any other gzeder that they made on yadayim. Yadayim are shniyoisei. Here too, yadayim shniyoisei. And that's the svar of the machlekes. But now, Frank Tiyamara, a very simple, straightforward question. We said that Reb Shimon Elazar is the one that holds that Yedayim Tchilois Lechulin. Yedayim have a din of a Rishoin, and Kim Metam Echulin, so it'll become a Sheni. Who holds Yedayim Tchilois? Reb Akiva. So Frank Tiyamara, what do I need to get involved with Reb Shimon Elazar? Let's go straight to Reb Akiva. Reb Akiva holds Hichnis Yadav with Bayis and Menuga Yadav Tchilois. For like Reb Akiva, the Yom Yedayim Tchilois. Yadav Tchilois Avion. Therefore, you, the person that has Yadayim Tchilois, make sure not to go and touch Chulin, because Chulin is going to become a Sheni. So I tell you why we didn't go that approach and say that we're talking about Reb Akiva. We said Reb Shimon Elazar, because still we can come. Reb Akiva, hani mila betruma vekodshim dechamiri. Maybe we say that the Yadayim have a din of Tchilois in terms of truma and kodshim, which are much more chomer. What would that mean? Because normally Yadayim are shniyos. So if it touches truma will become posel, but it won't be further metame because truma ends at a shlishi. By the kodshim, it would go and make it that it could be metame. My hands are a rishon. I'm touching the kodshim, and now the kodshim not only would produce a sheni metashlishi, it would go all the way to revi. That's why he's saying, be careful your daim tchilos. But it could be that chulin, maybe shniyos havyon. Could be that even Reb Akiva, who said that they have a din of Yadayim Tchilois, maybe only Gabi Truma Vekodshim, but not the Gabi Chulin. And Chulin Shniyai Savion, and therefore it's going to stop at a Sheni, and the hands are a Sheni, and a Sheni can't go and make anything worse. It's only a Sheni. So what did Reb Akiva accomplish by saying Yadayim Tchilois? Let's take the case of Truma, for instance. If you say that Yadayim Shniyois, and it touches Truma, then the Truma Taka becomes possible, but that's it. It becomes a Shlishi, and we're done. But if you hold your daim tchilois, when you touch the truma, since your hands are a rishon, the truma becomes a sheni, and now the truma can go mimetame something else. It doesn't just become posel, and the buck stops there. It spreads the truma to a shlishi. So maybe only in those cases, truma of kodshim, said Rabbi Kiva, that the hands are much more chomer by the Yadayim HaMenuga that goes into Bayis HaMenuga that has the status of a Rishon. But maybe not the Gabi Chulin. The Gabi Chulin, maybe there's still Shniyos, say, and Shniyos cannot be Matami. That's the reason why we needed to come on, says the Gemara, to Reb Shimon Elazar. The Reb Shimon Elazar said very clearly, Yadayim Tchilois Lechulin. Oh, Frank Timur. Okay. Frank Timur, I have a new approach now. Let's assume Taki are right, that Stam Yadayim Ashniyah is saying, even hands that go into the Bayis HaManugah for purpose of Chulin, they're only Sheni. I could still Zetz Einar Mishnah like Rebbe Kiva. Why the Shemin and Leila Rebbe Kiva, the Omer, Sheni Oisish Lishi B'Chulin? I found that Rebbe Kiva holds something fantastic. He holds that Sheni can make a Shlishi B'Chulin. In other words, that we've been talking about for the last half hour, that Chulin can only become a Sheni, Rebbe Kiva says, I respectfully disagree. I hold that it can even become a shlishi. Where did we find this, Rebbe Kiva? Titnan, we learned in the Mishnah, boy bayoim. What means boy bayoim?
The day that Rebbe Gamliel was thrown out of the Messias.
And who was appointed?
Rebbe ben Azariah.
So let's talk about the Rebbe ben Azariah appointment. We don't know that it happened mamash the same day, but one thing is certain, boy bayoim, that was the day that Rebbe ben Azariah came into becoming the Nasi. The reason why Rabbi Gamliel had been demoted was because of problems that he made for Rabbi Yeshua, and therefore the Chum said, you know, this is Shengenuk, Genuk, Genuk, he's denigrated, he's defiling the very respected scholar Rabbi Yeshua, and therefore they were demoted the Rabbi Gamliel. And that day they had to find a new replacement, and boy bayom, and that day they appointed Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And the Gemara in Sechtes Brocha says that the first thing Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah did was he started a new
admissions policy
called open admissions. What means open admissions? Until that point, Rabbi Gamliel only allowed Talmidim that were toichai kivare. That to really be the top of the elite of the elite, so to speak. And said, Rabbi Blosser ben Azariah, that's not a good idea. We're going to open up the Besmedish to anybody and everybody that wants to enter. And it says on that day, hundreds and thousands of new halachis and tshuvas and gemaras were all for enfit because Nisra betoyra b'Yisra. It's a beautiful, beautiful gemara over there. But the gemara says, boy bayoyim. Whenever you see boy bayoyim throughout Shas, that means on that day, Rabbi Blosser ben Azariah was appointed as the new Nasi, since Toyra expanded tremendously in Klal Yisrael. So Dorosh Rabbi Kiva, on that day, Rabbi Kiva dashed. It says in the pasuk called Kli Cheres. What does it say? Vayta asher yipol mehem el toichai kol asher besoicha yitma ba'oisis ishbar. So this is a pasuk that we quoted a few times a few days ago. That what if you have kli cheres is different than all other kelim. All other kelim are metame migaboy from the outside, while the kli cheres is metame from the inside. So now what happens to the kli cheres? So the pasuk says kol kli cheres asher yipol mehem el toichai. So let's talk about, for instance, a dead sheret. And remember, it does not have to touch the walls of the inside of the kli. It just has to be within the avir of the kli. So I have an individual that is holding by the tail a dead sheret, and that dead sheret is now in the avir of the kli cheres. The avir kli, the kli cheres has now become tame. What level of tame? Well, since the sheret itself is an avir tame, now the kli has become a rishon l'tame. So if there are any food items inside that kli, they're all going to become tame. What tum are they going to get? They're going to get a sheni l'tumah. Because since the kli cheres is a rishon, any food item inside is going to become a sheni. Rabbi Kiva, however, says, notice the pasuk doesn't say, kol asher besoichai tame, it says kol asher besoichai yitma. And I'm going to learn pshat, says Rabbi Kiva, Tami loy nema el yitma, which means la tame acherim. So the food items which are inside that kli cheres, not only are they tame, they'll have enough tuma to be metame others. Now, what would you typically find in a kli cheres? Says Rashi, the kli cheres we're probably talking about is a tanur. Apparently, all the ovens in those days were made out of earthenware, out of kli cheres. So normally you would find a kikor, you'd find a loaf of bread. So they have this very large oven, and made out of kli cheres, and Nebuchadnezzar have this dangling nevela, it could be nevela as well, are now within the avir of this furnace, of this oven, and guess what happens? Now the whole oven becomes a risha in the tumah. I have now a kikar inside, bread which is baking, that becomes a sheni in the tumah. Says the pasuk natame, it says yitma. So that limit al kikar sheni shu oyse shlishi bechulin. It goes and makes a shlishi. Ah, with this pshat in the Mishnah is now so easy. The Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Kiva, and the Mishnah is saying if you have your daimus ovis, which means your hands are a sheni, make sure that the flesh did not become mukshur, because otherwise it's going to become a shlishi. So I have a perfect teretz going to Rabbi Kiva. I don't need to come on to yidayim tchilois. I don't need to come on to the teretz we had before. Just simply Rabbi Kiva, his hands are a sheni, and a sheni is oise shlishi. Says the Gemara, no. When did Rabbi Kiva say that a sheni can make chulin into a shlishi? If you're talking about taka and a tumah diaraisa, which is the tumah diaraisa? That you had the nevela or the sheretz going into the kli cheres. The kli cheres became a rishon and made the kikar into a sheni. That sheni is super powerful as a tumah diaraisa. But here we're talking yadayim misu ovis, which are only a sheni derabanan. Skans meglich, says Igmara, could very well be that Rabbi Kiva would also agree that since we're starting off with a rabbinical type of tumah, not a diaraisa, it only goes to a sheni, not to a shlishi. So therefore, we're stuck once again. If we wanted to say that the Mishnah goes like Rabbi Kiva, you would not have a good pshat. Because maybe Rabbi Kiva is only machmer, sheni oisa shlishi, only by derais and not the rabban. So therefore, we're going to be stuck. We're not stuck. We have a wonderful teretz that a Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, and it's talking about Rabbi Shimon Elazar, not yedayim misu ovois shenis, but yedayim tchilois, which is a rishon, and therefore, as long as not mukshul kabel tuma, nothing to worry about. Now I have the final pshat for today in our Mishnah. Amar Reb Loza, Amar Reb Oishia. I have a new pshat. Hacha b'chulin shenas al taris hakodesh oskinan ud loike Reb Yeshua. What does it mean, chulin shenas al taris hakodesh? Normally, you're allowed to go and eat chulin as long as it's tahar. And that is for all chaverim. The amaratzim were not makbid, they even ate chulin betumah. But the chaverim were very, very careful. Chaverim means the tamid chaman. They were makbid that it should all be betara. But when they ate chulin, normally it was chulin shenaso al taras hachulin. In other words, yeah, I made sure no shrotzim touched it, no nevelis touched it. I made sure everything was kushav yushav. But there is an elevated form. It's like just like you have kosher and glad kosher, or mahadrin, mahadrin, min a mahadrin. There's by chulin, there's also a concept of higher degree and level of kedusha in chulin, either chulin shenaso al taras hachuma or al taras hakodesh. Why would a person go and do chulin shenaso al taras hakodesh? You have a person who is, for instance, a kohen who's constantly eating kodshim in the base of Mikdash, especially during his mishmar or his beis ab, he's eating kodshim, and he wants to go and make sure that he doesn't have to have, as you know, all from people have to have today four different sets of dishes. They have to have milkshakes and fleishakes, that's for chametz, and then for Pesach, they have milkshakes and fleishakes. Of course, I'm talking about years ago, generations back. Today's generation, they just buy plastic plates for everything, so it doesn't make a difference. On Shabbos and on Yom Tov, they wear plastic plates. Oh, yeah, yeah. Anyway, so you have now a person who's eating kodshim. He wants to make sure he doesn't have to have yet another set of plates. What'd be another set of plates?
He's kosher for Pesach year-round.
Yeah, and he's kosher for Al Taras HaKodesh year-round. So you have to have yet another higher degree. So this person is makbid chun shenaso al taras hakodesh. And what's the status by chun shenaso al taras hakodesh? Says our braisa, says Reb Lezer, you can even have a shlishi. It's only chulin, but this person is makbid to eat his chulin. Higher level, elevated level of taras hakodesh. Therefore, it can even attain the level of a shlishi. But not a kuntra Reb Shu, only kuntra Reb Lezer. Who's Reb Shu? Who's Reb Lezer? The sign here, we have a braisa. Reb Lezer, oimer oichel, oichel rishon, becomes a rishon. A sheni becomes a sheni. A shlishi becomes a shlishi. What Reb Lezer tells us is midrabanan, a person can become what he eats. And if he eats a rishon, he becomes a rishon. He eats a sheni, he becomes a sheni. He eats a shlishi, he becomes a shlishi. I don't understand. I thought oichel and mashkit cannot be metame odin vekelim. What are you talking about? Oichel, oichel, rishon. So Rashi says we're talking about a very, very unusual situation. Again, one of the tumais midrabanan, where the rabbanan said, if a person eats a huge shi'ur, how much is huge? Says Rashi, two kibayim. Not a kezayis, not a kibaya, two kibayim, two eggfuls. That is the volume. And he eats of an oichel, which was a rishon, he becomes a rishon. Why is that? Why did the Chacham make this special fancy gzera? Rashi says, because I'm afraid when a person is eating, if he's going to eat and he happens to be lemushel tomei shniyois, and he's eating regular chulin, but you know what might happen is, in the middle he might decide, you know, I can't just eat and eat, I have to drink something. And he didn't have any Polish spring water to go and drink, and he was a Hungarian anyway, so he wouldn't drink any Polish spring water, but he did have bottles of wine. So he's going to go and drink wine so that he won't whine about the fact that he has to, you know, digest it, has to go down. Now, that problem with the wine is that what happens if the wine that he has at home, he's a kohen, is wine of truma. So, no problem, he puts it in his mouth. Yeah, but the problem is, he might go and touch, if he has something in between his teeth, he's going to take a toothpick and he's going to stop pressing with his fingers and with his nails to get the stuff out. He's going to go and touch the truma in his mouth. So the Chum said, if you're eating anything which is a status of an oichel, oichel rishon, then that person, and you eat two kibayim worth, then that person himself becomes a rishon. Just repeating again, Reb Lezer oimer oichel oichel rishon, food that has a status of a rishon, he, that kohen that is eating it, midrabanan, gets a status of a rishon. If he's eating a sheni, he becomes a sheni. If he eats a shlishi, he becomes a shlishi. This is Reb Lezer. Reb Yeshua disagrees in terms of the levels. He agrees in concept to what we're saying, but he says oichel oichel rishon or sheni becomes a sheni. So even though you ate an oichel rishon, you don't become a rishon, you become a sheni. Why by sheni don't I say becomes a shlishi? The Gemara is going to discuss that tomorrow. So this kohen who's eating a double kibaya volume of rishon or sheni, he becomes a sheni. If he eats a double volume of shlishi, then he becomes a sheni of the kodesh, then sheni of the truma. And now Rabbi Yeshua adds on a zinger, if you will. All of this is bechulin shenasa altaris truma. Altaris truma in altaris kodesh loy. Because kasavar chulin shenasa altaris kodesh less behu shlishi. Since both Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua are talking about eating a shlishi, what was the shlishi? Well, we know truma can become a shlishi. They're now saying that chulin also can become a shlishi. Said Rabbi Yeshua, if you're talking about that he's eating chulin on the status of taras truma, but not if he's eating on taras kodesh, there is no such thing as a shlishi. So we'll get back to this in a moment. But in the meantime, let's finish off what's the Gemara's teretz. Gemara's teretz is that our Mishnah is talking about not just regular chulin. This behema chay va'oifer he shechti, he's going to eat it on taras kodesh on a high madrega, mahadrim and a mahadrim, super. Regular chulin, you're right, can only go until a sheni. But if you are a person who is makbet to eat chulin shenasa l'taris hakodesh, it can even go to a shlishi. How do I know it can go to a shlishi? Because Glezer said he's eating a shlishi. There's no such thing as chulin as a shlishi. So you're going to tell me maybe they were talking about eating truma, says Rashi on the top, since it doesn't define what shlishi, it's referring to any shlishi. You see the top Rashi on the top of the Amid. B'chun shenafel taris truma kolay b'hai oichel rishin b'shenu shlishi tektoni b'chulin mayu etomer chulin. And we're saying that chulin can even come to the level of a shlishi. Now here Rabbi Yeshua says only by nafel taris truma. But Rabbi Lezer says even if you eat al taris kodesh it can become a shlishi. How can chulin become a shlishi? Yes. Can become a shlishi. And so therefore, that's the teretz that the Gemara is positing now. Our Mishnah told me, Shrikh Behem Achai V'oif, and he's a person that's no hate to eat his chulin ataris HaKodesh, where there is a possibility of a shlishi. Make sure that there's no dam spurting out. The flesh is not going to become now Mokshe L'Kabel Toma. So then you can eat in with your Dai Musu Avois. Even with shniyos, but the shniyos is going to cause this to become shlishi because taras hakodesh, but it's not moksha, so you don't have a problem.
Someone who's eating chulin on taras hakodesh, taras truma, eat with hands that shniyos. Of course, he's going to wash his hands before he eats.
But you don't have to if it's moksha l'kabel tum. If it's not moksha, if there's no dam, then you don't have to worry. What happens if we have no water? Right?
Okay.
You think of, we just go to the kitchen? Right, you have two faucets. They didn't have that in the good old days. So you had no water around. So I have to be noivis that he's going to go and be metame. Says he, as long as it wasn't mukshel kabel toma, you could eat with a daim shniyos. But I eat al taras hakodesh, you're going to become a shlishi. But it's not mukshel kabel toma. So freitimor, but that's all according to Rebbe Lezer. Freitimor v'loikma. Why do we have to zetzayin our mishnah that is talking about chum shenaz l'taras hakodesh according to Rebbe Lezer? V'loikma b'chum shenaz l'taras truma, which even Rabbi Yeshua agrees that there is such a concept, and Rabbi Yeshua said also a shlishi. So we have two terutz in that. According to Blaz, it's chulin ataris hakodesh. He ate a shlishi of chulin, or is eating, and shlishi can become chulin can become shlishi. And we could talk about Rabbi Yeshua; it can become a shlishi of ataris hakodesh, but it can become by chulin ataris truma. It's a loisolka daitach tani basa. After all, we're talking about eating meat. The ibetruma basa miika. You're eating chulin ataris truma. By truma, there's no concept by meat. Truma, of course, is only from menat torah, midraban, all types of fruits and vegetables. But you don't give truma from flesh, from meat. Elamai bekodshim. It's right tomorrow. Chai bekodshim yeka. So it's a basr bebasr mechlef. You can easily mistake one type of meat for the other type of meat. Basr beperiloi mechlef. So therefore, by something that's chul shenath l'taras hakodesh, we do have this concept of a shlishi. We tell the guy, if it's not mukshar, you can eat with your daim besovis. But if it's mukshar, you're not allowed to. It's going to become a shlishi. According to Rabbi Yeshua, however, since we're talking about basr, there's no concept of eating chulin shenath l'taras truma. So you can only go to a sheni, you can't get to a shlishi. And our Mishnah doesn't make sense when we say you can't eat daim besovis. But the sign that the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Lezer, chulin shenath l'taras kodesh, where there is a shlishi.
And not with
a shlishi. Have a good day, everybody.